order. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached a point in our meeting where it's time for our public hearing. Very glad that you're here with us this evening, giving up your Thursday evening to participate in your planning and zoning process. Let me assure you that anyone who wishes to speak on a given application will be given the opportunity to do so at the appropriate time and in accordance with the rules of the commission. Speaking of the rules of the commission, please allow me to direct your attention to our esteemed counsel to my right and your left, who has a few well-chosen words to share with you about the way we conduct our meetings and the way we would like you to conduct yourselves.
Thank you, Mr. Wheatley. This is the time and the place for the public hearings as scheduled before the Sussex County Planning and Zoning Commission, as shown on tonight's agenda. These proceedings are conducted under the rules of the Planning and Zoning Commission. The proceedings are being simultaneously broadcast on the internet at sussexcountyde.gov. Sussex County and its zoning and land use decisions does not discriminate against persons based on race, color, religion, national origin, source of income, handicap or disability, familial status, sex, creed, marital status, age, sexual orientation, or gender identity. Public comments made on the basis of bias or stereotype concerning people within these protected classes will not be taken into consideration by Sussex County in its deliberations. All commission matters are discussed and voted on publicly in open meetings. Everyone present and everyone participating virtually is invited to stay throughout the commission meetings to view the commission's deliberations and the votes on the pending applications. Everyone in attendance or participating virtually must conduct themselves in an orderly fashion, and no applause or other disruptive behavior is permitted. Please do not distract from these proceedings, and we ask that you follow the directions of the chairman. For those of us here in this room, if you have a telephone or similar device, we ask that you turn it off or switch it to silent service. And in honor of Christmas and the annual tradition, if you have any, harking back to Mr. Lank, if you have any musical socks that might play Christmas carols, we ask that you turn those off or switch them to silent service as well. One year we had our director of planning and zoning.
It happened.
It wasn't Mr. Whitehouse, it was one of his predecessors, and he had Christmas socks, and he crossed his legs, and all of a sudden Jingle Bells started playing. So, we kind of do that every year. The hearings will be conducted as follows. First, the application will be announced by the chairman, and then the director will review the application and describe any agency comments or correspondence that has been received. Then the applicant will present and explain its application to the commission, and the applicant may present any exhibits and testimony in support of the application. The commission may question the applicant and its witnesses at any time. After the applicant's presentation, the chairman will invite public comment. For testimony from people here in this room, supporters will go first, followed by any opponents. If there is a spokesperson or an attorney representing an organized group, we ask that they identify themselves so that they can speak first. We will start with folks present in this room, and then we'll ask to hear from people participating remotely through the call-in number. For those of you here on the premises who wish to speak, we ask that you come to the podium and identify yourself by name and place of residence for the record. We just need the name and place of residence from anyone speaking on the phone. We do ask that you be concise in your statements and avoid being repetitious. If there is more than one witness in favor of or in opposition to an application, please do not repeat the points that a prior speaker has already stated. Please understand that it is the quality of the testimony and not the quantity of it that is persuasive. The chairman has the authority to set reasonable time limits on testimony from the applicant and the audience, and he has the authority to terminate testimony from anyone when that testimony is irrelevant or unduly repetitive. No direct questioning or cross-examination of the applicant, supporters, or opponents will be permitted. Any questions should be directed to the commission, and the commission will direct the question to the appropriate person if necessary. At the conclusion of the hearing on each application, the commission may take action on the application or defer it until a later date. Once the record is closed, the commission, on my advice, will not read or respond substantively to any mail, email, or other communications or conversations about the application. The commission's decision will be based solely on the record from the public hearing. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir, we thank you. And our first public hearing is subdivision 2021-34 Suncrest, formerly known as Marsh Homestead.
This is a coastal area cluster subdivision to divide 18.02 acres plus or minus into 41 single family lots to be located on a certain parcel of land lying and being in Indian River 100, Sussex County. The property is lying on the south side of Waterview Road, which is Sussex County Route 279A, approximately 0.19 mile east of the intersection of Camp Arrowhead Road, which is Sussex County Route 279, and Waterview Road, which is Sussex County Route 279A. The tax parcel ID is District 234, Map 12, 12, parcel 22.31. The zoning district is AR1, agricultural residential zoning district. Submitted into the record, Mr. Chairman, we have a copy of the applicant's preliminary subdivision plan. We have a copy of the applicant's environmental assessment and public facility evaluation report. We have a copy of the applicant's exhibit booklet, which includes a Chapter 89 source water protection letter and a copy of the applicant's Chapter 99-9C response. We also have a copy of the plus response from the state and the applicant's response to the plus response. We also have a copy of the staff review letter. We also have a copy of a letter received from the applicant relating to a density bonus request. We also have the TAC comments that have been received, including a letter from the Department of Agriculture, a letter from the Sussex County Geographic Information Office, a letter from US Fish and Wildlife, a letter from the Sussex County Engineering Department. We have a letter from the Division of Public Health. We also have another letter from Sussex County Engineering Department, Utility Planning Division, and I would note that we have received one mail return, one letter of opposition, and zero letters of support. Thank you.
All right, sir, we thank you.
Good evening. Good evening, Chairman, Commissioners. Blake Carey, on behalf of the applicant WV3 LLC. I'm of the Smith Firm LLC in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Here with me this evening are Cliff Mumford, professional engineer, as well as Dave Green and Dale Brown, who are members of the applicant LLC. I'm going to begin by providing you an overview of the project, segue into its basically specifications with respect to 115-25E and F, its consistency and conformity with the comprehensive plan. I'll then discuss the 99C requirements, and finally the applicant's bonus request and its consistency with 115-25B3. First, you should have received a booklet which was submitted at least 10 days ago that contains all pertinent materials with respect to the application. The property we're discussing is owned and being developed by the applicant WV3 LLC. It bears Sussex County tax map and parcel number 234-12-22.31. You'll see that the parcel consists of a total of 18.017 acres, with 1.757 acres being located across Camp Arrowhead Road to remain undeveloped. As you can see, WV3 proposes a cluster subdivision known as Suncrest, to divide 18.017 acres, more or less, into 41 single-family lots. A portion of the subdivision will consist of lots and streets with 7.748 acres, or 42.65% of the subdivision consisting of open space. 5.991 acres of open space are on the main tract, which equates to 33.25%. The property is currently zoned AR1 agricultural residential in Sussex County, and all proposed structures will comply with the height, area, and bulk requirements of the code for a cluster subdivision. It's located within investment level 3 of the 2020 state strategies and spending map. The property is located within a growth area of the comprehensive plan, particularly Sussex County's coastal area. State title and federal non-title wetlands do not exist on the site that's proposed to be developed. The proposed project is partially located within a good groundwater recharge area. It is not within a wellhead protection area. It's not impacted by the 100-year flood plan, and the project is superior in design and will consist of single-family home lots. Passive and active open space, including a pool and amenity area, proposed walking trail around the perimeter, stormwater pond, and open space are all proposed, and finally a landscape buffer of roughly 30 feet. Notably, no existing trees will be removed for the project. If approved, there will be 41 lots, which does equate to a density of 2.28 units per acre. Density bonus request is being made, which I'll address later on in my presentation. The subdivision proposes one entrance to Waterview Road, and the developer will contribute to the Henlopen Transportation Improvement District. The developer will install a right turn lane at the site entrance and a shared use path along the project's frontage. Internal streets will be privately maintained and will meet or exceed code requirements. Drinking and fire protection water will be provided by Tidewater. Wastewater will be provided by Sussex County. and fire protection by the Rehoboth Beach Volunteer Fire Department. Electricity is through Delaware Electric Co-op, and finally, the property is located within the Cape Henlopen School District. The project was presented to PLUS on June 22, 2022. Response was provided by the engineers, which addresses those comments. That's Exhibit 3 of your booklet. The project went through the TAC process with comments being submitted again and included in your booklet at Exhibit 4. It complies with the purpose of the code for the reasons I'll discuss and also complies with 115.25E and F, particularly the design requirements for AR1 district for a cluster development as outlined in your booklet. With respect to 115.25F, the project complies with such provisions. I'll address those as succinctly as I can. Particularly, the project provides for a total environment and design which is superior. Homes are clustered on environmentally suitable portions of the tract. No wetlands, waterways, or water bodies exist on the portion of the parcel that's proposed to be developed. There are mature woodlands. However, as I mentioned, none of those woodlands are going to be disturbed. They can all remain intact. Those are on the, the southern end of the property. Open space complies with the code. Specifically, all required open space meets the official definition of acceptable open space. As I mentioned, 42.65% of the open space of the parcel consists of recreational facilities and amenity areas, ponds, buffers and forested areas, and sidewalks, among others. The aforesaid open space is beneficial to residents and users alike. No wetlands exist on the location of the project, with the exception of the tract across the road, which is not to be developed. Stormwater will be handled on-site, will meet all pertinent state of Delaware regulations. No removal of existing trees, again. And finally, scenic views from within the tract are preserved, as there's a limit on back-to-back lots within the proposed subdivision. As I mentioned, the plan preserves, I feel like a broken record, all mature trees that currently exist on the site, and the wetlands across the roadway, again, will be preserved. The plan proposes roadways, sidewalks, and a walking trail, and open space, as I've mentioned. Finally, aside from those lands preserved, there are no other areas that require preservation within the tract. And lastly, a sidewalk will be provided on at least one side of the street. Here, we actually have one on each side. With respect to the comprehensive plan, as I mentioned, this is within a growth area, particularly Sussex County's coastal area. Coastal areas can accommodate development provided special environmental concerns are addressed. There are none here. The project proposes single family homes, which are permitted. And as I did mention, the applicant is requesting a density of 2.28 units per acre, which according to the plan can be supported in areas where there's central sewer and water. We have that. The project is near sufficient commercial and employment areas, particularly in our instance, the Route 24 corridor. The project keeps with the character of the area, which includes several other cluster subdivisions. Significant permanent open space is proposed well above the 30% requirement, and all existing woodlands and property and wetlands across the road will be preserved. As far as the 99.9C requirements, the plan integrates the proposed subdivision into existing terrain and surrounding landscape. The property is bordered by single-family home dwellings to its west, south, north, and northeast. The area existing woods on the property is going to stay the same, as I mentioned. A 30-foot landscape buffer is provided around the perimeter of the property. Between the site and adjacent residences. There's also tree planting located on the Marsh Farms estate property line to the west. Finally, all landscaping will use native species to fit in and enhance surrounding scenery. The plan minimally uses wetlands and floodplains. In fact, there are no wetlands located on the site to be developed, and the site is not located within a flood zone area. The property preserves natural and historical features. The existing woods, as I mentioned, are to be preserved, and there are no known historical features on the site, and is not located within a water resource protection area. Open space and scenic views are preserved, as I've mentioned throughout my presentation. Tree, vegetation, soil removal, and grade changes will be minimized, with grade changes minimized to the extent necessary to provide site development and ensure proper draining. Site will be balanced to minimize the need for soil to be removed. And at the risk of, Again, sounding like a broken record, no trees are going to be removed from the site. Screening from neighboring property owners and roadways will consist of a 30-foot landscape buffer around the perimeter, with the exception of Waterview Road, which will shield the view from that. Tidewater utilities, will provide water. Sussex County will provide sanitary sewer conveyance and treatment. Best available technologies and best management practices will be utilized during construction and design of the property, and it will meet or exceed requirements of water resource protection area utilizing an infiltration pond. Stormwater management areas will meet all local, state, and federal guidelines for sediment and nutrient removal. An erosion and sediment control plan will be developed and implemented as required by the Conservation District and DENREC. The entrance to the site and internal road networks will provide safe vehicular movement from the site and to access Waterview Road and will conform with county standards. We have a proposed shared use path for bikes and pedestrians to be provided along Waterview Road, connecting to the proposed internal sidewalk network. Sidewalk will be provided on both sides of the road as opposed to just one side. Internal site lighting along the roadways will also be provided. It's anticipated that based on historical trends in Sussex County, the property values around the proposed subdivision will increase the development with the development of Suncrest. Finally, the area between South Route 24, State Route 24, and Rehoboth Bay has for many years segued from agricultural to more development-like transitions and single-family home communities. Large cropland acreage no longer exists in proximity to the site. The design also focuses on a more open and relaxed plan, which allows for greater environmental protection and incorporates open space exceeding county requirements of 30%. The subdivision will increase tax revenues to the pertinent school district, that being Cape Henlopen. The entrance to the subdivision will be designed to meet DLDOT standards. Project is located within the Henlopen Transportation District, and as I mentioned, the developer will sign a TID agreement coupled with a TID fee. A right turn lane will be installed at the site entrance, and the development will improve the road to include 11-foot travel lanes and 5-foot shoulders to the eastern limits of the site entrance. As mentioned, the subdivision is adjacent to single-family residential homes on the majority of its boundaries, making it compatible with other area land uses. And finally, it will not negatively impact any waterways adjacent to it. There are none. Lastly, as I mentioned, the developer is requesting a density greater than 2 units per acre. Section 115.25(b)(3) allows the density to be increased to up to 4 units per acre for a cluster development that lies in a coastal area where open space is provided and a development fee is paid. The project proposes 5 additional units from the 36 units for a total of 41 single-family dwelling units. That equates to a density of 2.28, much lower than the 4 that is permissible. Proposed subdivision lies in a coastal area, provides more than the 30% of open space required by the code, which is both active and passive, and the developer is willing to pay the pertinent development fee to the county for the increased density. I would note that this site was originally planned for, I believe, 83 lots, I think roughly 10 years ago. So this is certainly a reduction from that as well. So in conclusion, Suncrest is a proposed cluster subdivision that's superior in design, satisfies those elements of the code that are applicable to it. It is also compliant with 115.25(b)(3) requirements for density of 2.28 units per acre. It also is consistent with the comprehensive plan, 115.25(e)(f), and the 99.9(c) requirements have been addressed. For those reasons, we would respectfully request your recommendation. And at this time, if you have any questions, I'd certainly answer those.
All right, Mr. Carey, we thank you. We'll see if anyone on the commission has any questions for you, and we'll start with Ms. Hoy Stevenson.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm looking at the road improvements that you're talking about on this, and are you expecting to, when you expand the road, to expand it on both sides of the road?
I believe right now it's the eastern side of the road, but
the east. I thought the front of this is facing north, no? Based on your compass road. Help me out here.
Cliff Mumford, civil engineer with Davis Mumford & Fridell, One Park Avenue, Milford. It would be expanded on both sides of the road to include 11-foot travel lanes and 5-foot shoulders on the north and south side, and we would connect into the Marsh Farm Estates hammerhead entrance they have there, and the improvements would extend to the east just past our 25-foot curbing.
So you would be taking land from somebody else's yard to expand your road there?
There's sufficient right-of-way, I think, along the north side. It bumps out, but there could potentially be a need to acquire right-of-way there.
Okay.
Or permanent easements.
Okay. My other question is, would you be willing to put some kind of fencing markers, something along the backyards of the lots that are going into the open space area, since that's like 1.4 acres and people get ticked off if they think a kid's playing football in their backyard?
You are talking about which area?
Okay, sorry. See how here in the middle,
mm-hmm.
you've got this one little area, you got the pool, you got the pool house, 1.4 acres.
Mm-hmm.
Put something along these lots to show that is open space for everybody to use and not just their big backyard.
Sure. I believe that would be sufficient, probably involved in the homeowners association documents perhaps as well.
I want like a marker so that people, I mean, I know things that say home, I mean, I live in a neighborhood with a pond where, yeah, we just don't need to get into the things that people say about the kids walking around the pond. It's open space. So.
Sure.
So anyway, I just went, that was my one deal.
Mm-hmm. It'll clearly be open space.
Okay. All right. That's all the questions I have for now.
Okay. Jonathan?
No questions.
Mayor?
No questions, but you can tell us you're not removing trees as many times as you want.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's like my question. Didn't remove any
trees? Yeah, we're not.
We like that. That's all.
Anything else?
That's okay. It.
Mr. Whitehouse, anything?
No, for me, thank you.
Okay. Counselor?
None for me, thanks.
All right, sir. Mr. Carey, if you'll take a seat nearby.
Thank you.
See if there's anyone here that has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2021-34 Suncrest, formerly known as Marsh Homestead? Is there anyone in the room who would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2021-34? All right, sir, we'll start with you right here up front, and then we'll come over here to you, and then we'll go back to the other side if need be.
Thank you for the evening to speak, the opportunity to speak this evening. I am Frank Corotti on lot 113, or otherwise known as 19053 Skyshill Road.
Excuse me, guys. Sir.
I think you can probably see if I, is this active here? With this, I'm right over here. I'm not sure if it's.
The mouse should be if you slide mm-hmm. the mouse around.
Well, I'm on the Skyshill Road, which is right here, back of the property there. Some of the questions I had.
Where the hand is?
Yeah, a couple higher than that. I'm on 113, right there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. We got
you. Were there any impact studies in terms of traffic or effluent done to make sure that there is suitable capability of handling that type of traffic and discharge?
I can assist with this one, Mr. Chairman. So the applicant, before they could even submit their application to the county, they had to submit to the state for review. And they've included some technical information, and the state's response to that is included okay. in the exhibit booklet. But this is participating in the Transportation Improvement District. And this is just for everyone's benefit. The Transportation Improvement District is a district that's created with all the analysis front-loaded at the beginning and creation of the district,
mm-hmm.
i.e. Delaware Department of Transportation. They know all the intersections within the district, and they know all the improvements that are required based on the expected growth.
So it's almost a master plan of sorts.
Correct. And rather than go back and then reanalyze Understood. Reanalyze, the TID basis is to require contributions to the district financially. So.
Okay. In my review of the site plan, I did see, and please correct me if I speak incorrectly here, that there was 70% hardwood and 30% evergreen trees to be planted. Was there a count or a specific sighting of those trees identified anywhere? Hopefully I'm...
Well, so that would be part of the, if it gets approved, that would be part of the landscaping plan, and our code actually spells out how many trees per 100 feet and the types and the distances between each one of those. So that's a requirement of the code that then is checked by staff.
But is that something that the developer could put around his model homes, or must he distribute them properly?
No, that's around the perimeter of the entire subdivision. They can put whatever they want around each on each lot, but that's a perimeter buffer requirement, and the what's going to get planted there is based on the code.
Okay.
There's a 30-foot, I think they said 30-foot buffer.
Mm-hmm. Right, I did see that.
That green area there, the darker green area, those are the trees in the...
Well, currently there aren't any trees there. There's a few evergreens.
Right. So they would be adding those.
They will have to plant trees.
Okay,
that's a code requirement.
So in the buffer that's identified as a 30-foot, that's on your property, not on our buffer area, which is 25 feet from our property line.
They can't do anything on your property, but on their property, they will be required to put in landscaping in a rather specific prescription.
Is there any spoken to fencing? I did hear that word being used. Is there any plans for a fence being put in there?
That's not a code requirement.
That's not a code requirement, okay. And I don't recall any testimony about a fence, but we can ask.
Do we know how far the trees will be placed from each other so as to provide a proper buffer?
Yeah, no, that's in the code. That's specifically spelled out so that it does provide a proper buffer, and all that's bonded and everything to make sure it goes in and everything.
Fantastic.
Else.
Yeah. Okay, those are my key questions. Thank you for your courtesy.
All right, sir. Yes, sir. All right, yes, sir. You're up.
Thank you for the opportunity to speak tonight. My name is Victor Latinoff. Let me get some readers on here. And I live at 22135 Camp Arrowhead Road. This property just backs right up to,
it's right in here.
We got it.
Got it on there.
Yep.
To this proposed development. I bought this property almost 22 years ago, and I had moved from the city of Rehoboth out there to escape cluster and some of the noise and the crowds. And it was my understanding that zoning, at least at that time, was at least 3/4 acre for a lot to be developed out there. So since that time, and since these cluster developments have started out in that Angola area and Camp Arrowhead Road, I will just state that within the last 2 months, I've had a cement truck land sideways in my yard, almost crushing the driver. And last night, I was awoken to a crash. Because I'm a police officer, I did answer the crash. I went out, and so the constant traffic and construction vehicles have and constant working on the roads. My wife and I have spent countless hours of our time being held up and not reimbursed for this kind of, you know, extra time that we spend coming and going. And it just seems to me that this endless development out there in these clusters, just because it might be allowed, doesn't seem that it has to be done. And what my request is that if we could go back to a 3/4 acre size lot with the development out there. Now, if you'll look at this development, except for the cluster that popped up, and I didn't even realize that they were going to make the cluster development across the street, and it's well done, I will say. This constant development in that area, I would say, is detracting from what's on Waterview. My lot's over 3/4 acre. The lot next to me is over 3/4 acre. The one next to that's over 3/4 acre. And everything that surrounds this new development is larger than 3/4 acre, except for the cluster development that's right beside it. So my request, I would ask that that council consider maybe putting some brakes on some of this cluster development and maybe retain a little bit of larger lots. I understand that property owners should be able to sell their property. They should be able to send their kids to Yale and Harvard. I agree with that. But I don't know why we have to continue this cluster development in this area. We've got plenty of it going on right now. And I think those properties would still sell for reasonable amounts.
I appreciate it. I will let you know, we don't make the rules. We can only go by what we have to work with. And the council are the people who make the rules about these things. So larger lots was probably back before they had water and sewer. And once that comes in, then the cluster is allowed. And
so
we can't tell them to make 3/4-acre lots, because we don't have that authority. Only the council could make a change to the ordinances that way.
So
There's a caveat to that. They still have to show the superiority requirement in this case.
Right. Yeah.
So what you're saying is that this area is destined for cluster development to continue, and all that property is still left open?
I can't foresee the future.
No, but I mean, that's a possibility, possibility.
If there's water and sewer, then there's a possibility.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Back on this side. Anyone else? Yes, sir. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for the opportunity to present our point of view. My family has lived...
Hold on. We need to introduce yourself, please.
My name is Sam Mills. My wife is Grace.
Okay.
And we have lived on what used to be 279A for almost 5 decades now. My parents before me, and now my family. We're looking at the plan, which is proposing to do 18 home sites on 40 home sites, 41 home sites on 18 acres. That's less than a half an acre per home site. We are very concerned about three issues. One, the water table. We have watched the water table drop, and to the point where we had to put in a second pump, in-ground pump, and go deeper than 125 feet. Our ground used to be a farmette, so we're concerned about the water issue. Secondly, we've watched traffic increase on Waterview Road, which used to be 279A. It's increased to a point where it's pretty heavy and thick. The other issue we're having is with wildlife. With all the surrounding development, wildlife has had a much restricted space to go to. So we've had a propensity of wildlife. A couple months ago, we had to take down 8 groundhogs that were tunneling all over the ground. And we had to take down raccoons and foxes, one of which was rabid. So we feel that 41 homes on 18 acres is a little bit too dense. It's too narrow and too dense. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to speak? Anyone else in the room? All right, operator, is there anyone standing by who would like to speak in favor of or in opposition to subdivision 2021-34 Suncrest?
Hi, my name is Julie at 2243 Bridgestone Cold Road. I have a couple of questions about the open space.
Okay.
I see that there are three separate open spaces, one in the middle, one on the south side, and one on the other side of Camp Arrowhead. So my question is, when the contiguous open space is calculated, how is it considered more than 30% of the whole open space? That is my one question. And also, when we talk about the open space, it's not just the space that's reserved for green or pond or some recreation area. It's supposed to be a usable open space. So my question about the green area on the other side of Camp Arrowhead, is that supposed to be a usable open space? And if it is, we'd like to know that there will be no crosswalk. There is another crosswalk already that is causing a lot of trouble. And this is right in the middle of the bend. So we have to make sure there will be no discussion of crosswalk on this place. So that is my comment, and also the maintenance of the open space is the responsibility of the HOA. So if there are trees falling to the neighboring property or whatever falling onto the street, they will have to take care of them. So this, the trust 1.7 acre or whatever on the other side seems to be just used as a calculation of the total open space, but it is not really a usable open space for the HOA, and it's a liability for them. So that is my comment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Operator, is there anyone else standing by that wishes to speak?
If there are anyone else on the line, of course, to speak in favor or in opposition to this application, please dial 5-star.
Thank you, operator. Okay, commissioners, any further questions? Ms. Hoy Stevenson, anything further?
I do have one. I do have a question.
Okay.
It's for Mr. Mumford, actually. I think he would be the one to answer it.
Okay. Mr. Mumford, if you would come on up here and chat with us for a minute.
In the plus comments, it's there are five existing full-depth gravity system permits under the parcel. What does that mean? Are there already systems under there, or what?
I think it was when it was a larger parcel. Before it was subdivided into this, it was a parent parcel of a bigger farm. And I think when those residential lots were split off, there was a site evaluation done. And those were on file as being under the parent parcel, so they were associated with that tax map number. But on this parcel, there's no septic systems.
Okay. So there's nothing you have to clean up then?
No.
And all right, then my next question is probably not for you, but Ms. Lee asked a good question. Were you planning to make the open space across the street active open space, or put a crosswalk in, or have any?
I would envision that as being more of a conservation area type, where it's passive and there's no access to it.
Okay, Mr. Carey.
Yes, Blake Carey again. No, there's no anticipation of any active use there, and certainly conservation of that area would be considered by the developer perpetually.
Okay.
Hmm?
That was it. That's all I had.
Thanks.
Okay. Anything else, anyone? Mr. Mears?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, then. That being said, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to remain with us the rest of the evening to see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Thank you.